of the Creedence Clearwater going on there. I love that song. Boy, I wonder if that guy is still doing anything. I wonder how old he is. Maybe he's not even alive. I think he is. We'll have to look that up. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. We are still alive and kicking. I am Paul Molloy, I think, and along with my partner, Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us. Friday, December the 3rd. Yes, indeed. Have you started your Christmas shopping? Do I care? I do not. We will be talking in a few minutes with Melanie Israel of the Heritage Foundation. We're going to talk about an effort to keep the Food and Drug Administration from easing the safety standards for chemical abortion pills. They're becoming easier and easier for people to grab. The question is, are they safe? Is the FDA doing enough? We're going to talk about that. And the, you know, all these smash and grab outbreaks going on, especially on the West Coast, it may force courts to strengthen their bail policies. Wow. Wow. Do you think maybe that would help? Meanwhile, Biden Press Secretary Jen Psaki, she blames COVID for the smash and grab and for the crime outbreak we've got across the country these days, COVID. We are going to get some thoughts on that, a few other things, with the proprietor of the Barber Poll a little bit later in the show, Andrew Ceresi. And Biden lets loose with another whopper, this time involving the six-day Israeli-Palestinian war. Apparently, he was an important cog. We'll tell you about it. And in our ultimate top 10, we have a goodie. The top 10 highest paid athletes, the past 31 years, really, since 1990. Since 1990. Who are the ones that really have been raking in the dough? We'll let you know. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. For the best haircut, and I'll tell you what, if you're not going to look clean cut for Christmas, what holiday are you going to look clean cut for? You guys got to get over to Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's in Dunedin. It's in the Overcash Plaza. The Overcash Plaza is on Overcash Drive. It is just north of Main Street, State Road 580 in Dunedin. Just north. Call first for your appointment, 727-733-3773. I always want to tip my hat to Good Morning Clearwater. What a great bunch of people. And they're very nice. They put up my banner, for goodness sake. Isn't that nice of them? But it's a great show, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Paul and Tracy Allen and the group. You got to listen to them. Latest in news and entertainment and sports. Good Morning Clearwater. All right. Well, U.S. hiring was a downer, you might say. The U.S. job growth significantly undershot what they were hoping for last month, suggests that difficulty in attracting new workers is weighing in on the whole recovery prospects for our country. And the pandemic definitely has something to do with that. Even as the COVID-19 cases seem to be kind of dissipating a little bit, the Labor Department said its monthly payroll report released today puts payrolls by just an additional 210,000 people. That's not very much. That's well below what they were hoping for, well over a 500,000 jobs to be added, about 550,000. So the unemployment rate dropped. It's down to 4.2%. It was at 4.6. And that is the lowest level since the pandemic began. So if the employment rate is, the unemployment rate is dropping, and yet we're not putting on the number of jobs we really want, it lets you, I guess what it's telling you is a lot of people have dropped out looking. See, they aren't filing for unemployment. That's where you get the unemployment numbers, people that are filing for unemployment. But there's a lot of people that go, you know what, I'm not going to work right now, and I'm not filing for unemployment because I can't get it anyway. But I'm just not interested in work. So that's where you get this kind of disparity. Now, this marks a significant drop, this 210,000 additional jobs in November. Significant drop from October, where they had 546,000 jobs that were added. So, I don't know. I don't know. Who knows? Nobody knows for sure. But things are kind of, this is the strangest Advent, Christmas, I think, in a long time. You know, we're not sure we're going to have all the things we want on the shelves, or even if we think they'll be available, we're not sure we'll get them in time for Christmas. And now we're not sure if we should go back to wearing masks or not, because we're not sure about this new Omicron variant of the virus. You know, everybody's sort of, I think we're kind of getting used to it. Then I hear that masks and virus may be a permanent part of our culture from now on, that it's going to be like the flu. It'll always be around.
Is it convenient or coincidence at the time they're pushing get the booster shot that a new variant comes out?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Because remember, we had the question now. Those people that are not vaccinating are getting penalized by not getting work and all that stuff, or whatever. So they're telling us that if you are fully vaccinated, you need to get the booster shot. If you don't, do you fall back into the category of people that are not vaccinated?
Oh, boy. I don't know.
But now it's convenient. This new variant, make sure you get your booster shot.
Yeah, everything.
Because we've got a new variant out there.
Right. Yeah.
I just thought that, you remember the Delta?
Yes.
Because when the first booster came out, now we got this one.
Now
we really
need
to get it.
Yeah.
So,
how many times did Biden mention the word booster shot yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to his
yes.
thing. He must have said it 35 times during that thing. Of course, he didn't take any questions. He took one question.
You can tell when he's on the prompter. It's one long sentence.
Yeah. Well, he's always on the prompter.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think he hardly had. He is more robotic than any other president we've ever had, you know, as far as being real.
Yeah.
You know, and just sitting there and talking normally without reading it.
Yeah.
He's the worst, or the least, or whatever the word is, you know. It's kind of sad in a way. But we need somebody right now that's a take control type, I think. And I don't think that people have that kind of perspective of Biden, you know. He's just sort of more of a dancing little marionette right now. Anyway, we are going to take our break. And when we come back, you know, we've got the FDA supposedly monitoring all of these drugs that get to us. Now there's a question of whether or not they're doing the job when it comes to these chemical abortion pills.
Nothing that is wrong, wanting you to stay here with me.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Friday, and you know, now that the Supreme Court is taking up this abortion controversy once again, there's a lot of things going on when it comes to the administration or administering of products that are involved with the whole concept of abortion. And in fact, a major pro-life group wants Biden's administration to ease to stop the FDA from easing regulations on abortion pills. Apparently, that is what is going on. The group is called Students for Life Action, and they are saying that there is a crisis developing that will create a reckless death by mail online chemical abortion pill market. Well, we've got Melanie Israel with us today. She is a policy analyst at the DeVos Center for Religion and Civil Society at the Heritage Foundation. So, Melanie, tell us a little bit about this whole thing with the FDA and the ease, I guess you might say, in getting these kinds of chemical abortion things.
Well, thank you so much for having
me. Oh, of course.
This is going to be a hugely important issue going forward. For those who aren't familiar, the chemical abortion regimen, it's a two-part process. So you have the first pill, mifepristone. That is the pill that causes the death of the unborn child by cutting off the hormones that are necessary to sustain the pregnancy. And so then a woman takes a second pill that causes contractions to empty the uterus. So that first pill, mifepristone, the one that ends the life of the unborn child, has been for 20 years, as long as it's been approved on the market, subject to these very heightened safety restrictions imposed by the FDA as a condition of it being available. And so those restrictions include things like not every doctor is able to prescribe these pills. You have to affirmatively seek permission from the pill maker. You can only dispense it in certain settings. You can't get these pills in a retail pharmacy like you would for picking up other prescriptions. And so one of those dispensing requirements is to give it to women in person. But the Biden administration this month is expected to do away with some of those safety restrictions, which is going to open the door to telemedicine abortion pills by mail, potentially abortion pills being available in retail pharmacies like Walgreens and CVS. And so this is really a looming new frontier, regardless of what happens in the Supreme Court abortion case this term.
Wow. Yeah, you know, it's because it's becoming so, I guess, as technology advances, it also is advancing, maybe dangerously so, in the ability for people to perform their own personal abortions with these pills. But the situation, of course, is that they may be using these pills and not knowing how much damage they are doing to themselves.
Exactly. These pills are dangerous. They're associated with very serious health risks, and that's why for the last 20 years these pills have been subject to these heightened restrictions imposed by the FDA. But I think a lot of people don't realize that the rate of chemical abortion in the United States has increased by 120% in the last decade. Roughly half of abortions in the United States are chemical abortions, not surgical abortions.
Wow.
And unfortunately, these chemical abortions have a complication rate that's four times higher than a first trimester surgical abortion. 24 women have died after taking these pills that we know of. There are thousands of adverse events. There are serious health risks of these pills, and unfortunately, the abortion industry is more interested in making these pills as widely available as possible than they are about keeping these common sense safety restrictions in place.
So tell us, Melanie, about the FDA. They are supposed to be monitoring all of this, kind of keeping an eye on it. Are they releasing their grip?
Well, unfortunately, one of the things they did during the Obama administration is that they even weakened their own monitoring system. Prior to 2016, people had to report adverse events that are associated with these abortion pills so that they could track all of that. And the Obama administration turned around and said, well, we're only going to monitor death. And so that has left us with a serious blind spot of monitoring what's actually happening to women. So when a woman reports to an emergency room with these complications, that is slipping through the cracks. And so now the FDA is undergoing a review to try to justify weakening these safety restrictions. And it's unfortunately a very sad circumstance that a couple years ago, they intentionally decided to stop tracking some very critical information.
Wow. Wow. We're talking with Melanie Israel. She is a policy analyst at the DeVos Center for Religion and Civil Society at the Heritage Foundation. And we're talking about this pro-life group, Students for Life Action, begging lawmakers to stop the easing of these chemical abortion pills. Now, apparently Students for Life Action are backing a bill by Virginia Congressman Bob Good, the Teleabortion Prevention Act of 2021. Is there any chance that that's going to go anywhere, to be honest, Melanie?
You know, with the current makeup of Congress at the federal level, it's very difficult to go on offense. But I do want to mention to your listeners that at the state level, there is progress being made to protect women from these dangerous pills, to protect unborn children. Just this week, the state of Texas enacted a law that's going to make sure that they're not doing telemedicine abortions, abortion pills by mail. And these laws have been passing in several states across the country here in the last legislative session. And so that's going to be something for people to keep an eye on. While the federal government, pro-life lawmakers aren't necessarily going to be able to go on offense, at the state level, there is some good progress being made. And I know that Students for Life and many other pro-life groups are on the front lines to try to do that.
You know, it seems, I wonder if the worm is turning a little bit on the whole thing about abortion. Now we've got the Supreme Court looking in on that Mississippi case. And if they uphold the Mississippi law, it would prevent abortions after the 15th week. It looks like they will. It looks like they will. But there was a time where you dare not bring up the fact that, hey, this is a human life we're talking about. And if you dared bring it up, you know, you were kind of shot down. What do you mean? You know, you're against women's choice and this and that. And they made it seem like it wasn't an individual human being, you know, that was in there. I wanted to get your thought. Do you think the worm is turning a little bit with people in this country and their feelings about abortion?
Yes. You know, it was so powerful to see a lot of these pro-life arguments being made during oral arguments at the Supreme Court. They're confronting this question about pre-viability abortions before that stage that a child is able to survive outside the womb. And that's a question that the court has never had to address directly in the last half century. So it's really a remarkable historical moment, and hearing this opportunity for the justices to talk about the science of prenatal development, how much has changed since 1973, how much more we know, and really to underscore that the pro-life sentiment of Americans is such a powerful example. Most Americans don't support the very abortions that Roe made legal, abortion on demand through all 9 months of pregnancy. And so this is an opportunity for the pro-life movement to feel optimistic. I think that sense of optimism is going to carry us through these next several months. And it's not over until it's over. We don't know exactly what the court will do, but I think there's a lot of reason to feel optimism for the cause of life.
Yeah. A lot of people think that it should never have been something that the Supreme Court took up, and that it's not. And in fact, that was brought up during these discussions, I think, Wednesday, whether or not the court should ever have even considered talking about whether abortion is right or wrong, and allowed it to stay within the states. Because really, up until 1973, wasn't it true that each state had a little bit more say in whether or not abortions would be performed there?
Right, right, exactly. And that's something that I think a lot of people don't realize, that overturning Roe doesn't mean that all abortions are outlawed. It means that the conversation and the policy making turns back to the states, and the American people will be able to have a say. It was inappropriate for the court to impose its pro-abortion policy preferences in 1973. And so that underscores the point, too. Overturning Roe is going to be a good thing to remove this barrier to state policymaking. But the pro-life movement is still going to have their work cut out for them to continue protecting children in law, but also building that culture of life and making the case to all of our fellow Americans that we need to protect all life, born and unborn.
Yeah, I agree with it. I'm thinking, though, that there's a stronger case to be made, because if each of the states have that right, first of all, the values and the beliefs of the people themselves, it's closer to the people themselves when each state has that right. And then the other thing, they used, I think it was the right to privacy, to hang the reason that women should have abortions, that it was a privacy right. I mean, it wiped, they didn't even delve with whether or not a human being's life was worth anything. And my thought was, okay, if it's a privacy right, why stop at birth? I mean, allow the parents to make a decision on the life of the child up to the age of reason. I mean, you can just as much argue that as you can a privacy right for a child before being born, you know? Because the child is still dependent after the child is born. If you left that child on the delivery room table, it would die. It still needs it still needs somebody to take care of it. You know what I mean? It's just it was a strange,
right.
Reasoning.
Right, right, and it was so powerful to hear the justices during oral arguments really cutting past these discussions about privacy and this and that, and actually talking about what are the rights of the child, what interests does that unborn child have? What interest does the state have in protecting unborn human life in their jurisdiction? And that kind of direct confrontation that we are talking about unborn human life was remarkable to be able to hear during oral arguments, because so often pro-abortion actors really want to ignore that unborn child entirely.
Exactly. Exactly. It is just great talking with you, Melanie. Thank you so very much for coming on. This is so important. It really is. And I know I look forward to having you back again soon.
Thanks so much. We hope to get a decision by the end of June.
Oh, that'd be wonderful. And in fact, we'll look forward to it. Thank you. All right.
Yeah.
All right, Melanie Israel from the Heritage Foundation. Let us take our break. And when we come back, you know, these smash and grab outbreaks, especially on the West Coast, forcing courts now to re-examine bail policies. Meanwhile, Press Secretary Jen Psaki says it's the COVID for the crime. Really? We'll get some thoughts on all of this with Andrew Ceresi, the master barber.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, Their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tan Talk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. You know, this craziness with, especially at Christmas, the smash and grab going on right now. Well, out in L.A. and, you know, in California, it's a big, big deal. Los Angeles police, they recently arrested 14 people in connection with 11 smash and grab robberies. And guess what? All 14 of them are back on the street. All of them. Now, the LA police chief, his name is Michael Moore, he said, all the suspects taken into custody are out of custody. Out of custody, either as a result of being they were juveniles or, in most cases, bailing out at zero bail criteria. In other words, they are saying, and the ACLU is involved in this too, well, they can't afford the bail. And you've got to make the bail affordable. You've got to make the bail affordable for these people. See? What? I mean, this is the craziness of the whole thing. If you make the bail high enough, somebody, in effect, comes and helps pay for that person and therefore becomes like a sponsor for that person. But they don't want that. As an example, their district attorney in L.A., a liberal, he backs ending bail for many crimes, including smash and grab. And so you're going to get more of it, and especially around Christmas time. In the meantime, Jen Psaki said yesterday the root cause of the spike in organized retail crime is the COVID. COVID is doing it. The COVID made me do it.
Well, at least it's not Trump's fault.
No. It's the COVID's fault. It's the COVID's fault. Well, we've got the proprietor of the barber poll here. I'm sure he agrees. Lower the bail. It's the COVID's fault, right, Andrew?
Well, first of all, Paul, what are they doing arresting these people? Because if they steal up to $999, they're not doing anything.
That's right. It's perfectly okay.
It's okay. So they're only doing their Christmas shopping. I don't know what they're so upset about.
I mean, why don't we just rent out shopping carts as they go in? You know, here, there you go. Slide the shopping cart to them as they come walking
in. You
think
that before they put them in the police car, the stuff that they stole in a bag, there's a guy there with an adding machine. Okay, that's 300, 400, 70, 800. Oh, you're just under nine. Go ahead and go free.
Yes.
That's exactly. What's the big deal here? You know, Paul, I'll be honest with you, too. I am so sick of hearing about COVID, vaccine, and abortion. I've been hearing about abortion since 1973.
Yeah.
I was a junior in high school.
Yes.
You know, not for nothing. There's not even a need for abortion today. Because there's so much birth control out there that it takes a smart person to get a girl pregnant today. You really got to work at it.
Yeah.
So are these people that stupid that they're getting pregnant, having an abortion? Get on the pill. Get on the IUD.
Right.
So much birth control. How stupid are the people?
I know. I agree.
It's that simple.
I know. I mean, you know, when we were kids, if you heard that somebody in your high school or even in college at that point that was not married, some girl, became pregnant, it was like kind of a shock. I remember there was a kid in high school who told me that he had gotten this girl pregnant. I mean, I was just shocked. Shocked, you know? And I thought, where's she going to... So she would go away, apparently, and have the child.
I was going to say, did that girl continue to go to school? Because when I was in school, I don't remember ever having a classmate that was pregnant.
Right. I never saw...
Yeah, I've known ones that got pregnant, but then they just kind of went away.
Exactly. That was my point. Yeah. My point was they went away to have the baby. Then they probably gave it up for adoption.
Right.
Now today, when my kids were in high school at Eastlake, I would drop my son off one time, and I says, what are you guys? They got a little kid's playground out at the high school for. Oh, Dad, that's for the girls that have babies. Wow. They can finish school and they got daycare.
Is that true?
God strike me dead.
Oh, my God. I mean, that's okay. Can you imagine? So it comes all the way back to this whole thing of personal responsibility, you know? It all comes back to personal responsibility. This is why our country, in my opinion, has become a mediocrity when it used to be number one. Personal responsibility. We all believed in it. We didn't have the government forcing this, that, and the other thing. People just had that within their own beliefs. You know, it was given to them by their parents, right?
You know, Paul, when we were young, if you think about it, a lot of us were first-generation immigrants' children.
Mm-hmm.
So we were raised
a lot of us
the European way, okay, with their old morals. But now we've devised what's called the Western culture. Okay, this country is, 300 years old?
Yeah, well...
In Europe, we've been around for a time. Look what we've created in 300 years. Immorality. Okay, the people have no morals, no conscience, no feelings. We've literally bred a bunch of morons.
Yeah, I wonder if 100 years ago, people... our age were saying, look at the way things are getting worse than they used to be. I don't know if that's true or not, but it seems to me that, you know, every generation seems to be a little bit more whatever, you know,
more free, Paul. Let it go.
Yeah.
Anything goes.
Yeah.
It don't matter. Boys are girls. Girls are boys. Girls beat up girls.
Yeah.
There's no religion. There's no God. There's nothing but Satan loose in this world today, and I tell you what, he's got a good grip on the United States of America.
So do you think it can turn back? Do you think, for instance, politically here, if, let's say, Donald Trump becomes gets back in office again, will he be able to turn some of this around, or is it way past that point?
Well, you know, Paul, just like these kids that are doing these shootings, I grew up with guns since I was a kid. And at 12 years old in eighth grade, we had gun safety courses because we all went hunting. They taught us.
Yeah.
Okay, now these kids, apparently this kid knew what he was doing with a gun.
Which one are we talking about now?
The one that just killed these people this week, the little 15-year-old.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Now, as far as I'm concerned, this kid needed the crap beat out of him a long time ago. Okay? I'm tired of hearing, he was bullied. He was, listen, we were all bullied in school. Everybody got mocked. I got mocked. I mocked my buddies. Everybody got bullied. Okay? And as a matter of fact, when somebody got bullied, I got suspended when I was in high school because they had the special ed kids in our school. Okay? And I was walked in the bathroom one day, and one guy was picking on the special ed kid. And my eyes crossed, and I literally picked this guy up and said, why don't you pick on me? And I picked the kid up and threw him through the bathroom window.
You kidding? All the way through?
All the way through.
Buddy. Oh, my gosh.
He was flying in the courtyard of the school.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, the principal called my parents and said, you know, Mrs. Cerisi, I have to suspend him. However, he did the right thing.
Yeah.
Okay?
Right.
Now, today, if more people acted like this and seen what's going on, but these kids today are ruthless because they got no accountability in their home. Their parents think they're cute when they're little wise asses, you know, and... they need to be slapped backhanded a few times, like I was.
I don't even think the kid is saying that he was being bullied. The last thing I read, first of all, the kid isn't talking anyway because the parents, they've hired a lawyer and the kid's not talking. But apparently, talking to some of the kids at the school, he was never the subject of bullying.
Okay, well, then he was just a whack job.
Sort of a whack job, yeah.
Okay, well, why don't the counselors notice this? Why don't the teachers?
Apparently, the parents were called in with the child the same
day. Exactly.
The same day. So there must have been something going on.
Yep.
And maybe whatever it was when the kid was called in, he went wacko after that, you know?
Yep. Well, you know, Paul, again, it's all accountability.
Yeah.
This country's a mess. We have no leadership. We got a wimp as a president. Caterpillar's got more backbone than he does.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he only says what's on the teleprompter, and you got a bunch of morons writing what he writes on the teleprompter. This country is falling apart. We need to get rid of Biden. We need to get rid of the Democrat administration, and we need to put somebody like Trump back in there, mm-hmm. straighten this country out.
I think Trump wants to run again. He's all but said he will. I got to ask you something else here. Did you hear about Alec Baldwin? He did an interview with George Stephanopoulos.
What a moron.
Now, let's set the table. Set the table. He claims he didn't actually pull the trigger. The gun went off, but he didn't pull it. Go ahead.
He must have pulled the hammer partway back.
Well, that was the other thing. It was an old Western, right? They were doing a Western, so it was a Western gun. It might have been a cock gun, but one way or the other, it was in his hands, and it went off, and it killed one person and injured another person. He's trying to get out from under the whole thing now.
How stupid is he? If that was cocked, you see the hammer pulled back.
Right.
Period.
Yeah.
If the people listen to this idiot, he needs to belong in jail. He needs to be sued and put away. The guy's nothing but a moron. He always was. He's nothing but a big bully. Listen to what he used to do to people on the streets in New York.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to be back.
Yeah, but wait a second. Didn't you think he did a wonderful Donald Trump interpretation on Saturday Night Live?
I told you. They need to let Donald Trump go there now and do him. That's what should happen. If Saturday Night Live was smart and they wanted the highest ratings in the world, now is the time to do it.
I could see Trump in a cowboy outfit with a big 10-gallon hat on and that gun doing that scene.
Mm-hmm.
It would be interesting.
No question about it.
It would get good ratings.
Look at it. Got Jesse Smollett. Oh, he's crying. That idiot was rehearsing what they did. They got videos of him rehearsing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if he gets off, they should throw the judge in jail.
I agree with that one. They got it on tape.
he's
talking to the two guys that apparently, you know, they were setting the whole thing up.
He was the producer.
God.
Now, if the people...
Why didn't he just plead guilty?
Because he's stupid.
Yeah.
Paul, there's so many stupid people out there today. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I run into a lot of them.
Yeah.
You know, it's the story of my life. I just sit there
and
shake my head. But enough is enough of this crap. Get these moron politicians out of office that are there. Half of them shouldn't even be there. We got 19 Republicans that have got to go. We got all the Democrats that got to go. But I'll tell you what, I got... Thank you, Dr. Oz, across my electronic barbershop. This guy is impressing me, buddy.
Yeah, you said that.
I'll tell you what, I want to meet this guy.
Now, there was something he said about the Second Amendment and guns, right? What was it he said?
He said everything about everything, this guy.
Yeah.
He said how the country's falling apart, how the CDC doesn't know their rear end from a hole in the ground. Okay, I mean, this guy is right on the money.
Yeah.
And they asked him one thing, why do you want to do this? You're being thrown in with a pack of wolves. And you know what he said?
What?
I want to serve my country. My country has been good to me. I come from an immigrant family. This country has been great to us. We came in legally. We worked hard. I went through school. And look at him today.
Yeah.
He goes, I want to pay back. And you know what? God bless this guy.
All right.
And we need more like him, believe me.
Yeah. Okay, COVID update. How is your wonderful wife doing, Nicole? She had come down with the virus, but she's been getting better, right?
She's doing great, Paul. As a matter of fact, we're going to go out dancing tomorrow night.
Oh, then she's got to be like almost 100%.
Oh, yeah, no question about
it. Oh, wonderful.
Tomorrow night we'll make her 100%.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. So good to hear. All right, my friend, as usual, a pleasure talking with you. I'm looking forward to talking with you on Monday as we move a little bit closer to Christmas. In the meantime, I hope you have a wonderful weekend.
You too, Paul, and way to go, Brandon.
Oh, yes.
You moron.
Let's go, Brandon. All right, my friend.
See you later.
All right. I love talking with this guy. He's always got this energy. I forgot to ask him. I guess, you know, December would be a good time for more people wanting to get clean cut, right, or whatever, for haircuts and the like. But we'll ask him that down the road. All right, let us take our break. And by the way, Joe Biden, you know, he's got this thing about embellishing, right? He's got another whopper, this time involving the six-day Israeli-Palestinian war. That was in the 60s. We're going to talk about it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Final segment of Freedom Works. We always thank you for listening in. By the way, we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Great Tantalk Radio Network. If you cannot hear us live, thanks to Ed, he's good enough to put all our shows on podcast, so you can go to our website and listen to any show you would like. They are there chronologically, latest show first. You will see who the guest is and the topic that we have and the top 10. Go to OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. All right, so Joe Biden, let's see. He said that there was a fire that engulfed his house, and his wife was in there, and it turned out it was a little kitchen fire. Nobody was even close to being hurt. He's been saying all kinds of things about where he was and this and that. Well, most recently, Biden said that he met with former prime minister from Israel, Golda Meir, and served as a liaison between Israel and Egypt during the Six-Day War. Now, the only problem with that is he was a student at Syracuse University when the Six-Day War was going on, which was in June of 1967. So it would have been kind of tough to be that liaison, but that's what he said. Now, in truth, in October of 1973, when Golda Meir was prime minister, there was the Yom Kippur War. He probably got the two mixed up, but it was kind of funny to listen to him talk about the 1967 war when he was at Syracuse, you know?
Oops.
the Six-Day War, by the way, it was a short war, obviously. It pit Israel against Jordan, Syria, and Egypt, and it reshaped the region there. It broke out in June of 67. As I say, 1 year before Biden graduated from Syracuse University. But here's Biden. He's always building himself up, you know, touting his relationship here with Golda Meir and his support for Israel. There was a memo, though, that showed up, kind of goes against what he was saying about it. He was saying, you know, he was there and he was, you know, pro-Israel and this and that. Well, the memo claims Biden told Meir in 1973 that the territories Israel had captured at that point which included West Bank and the Gaza Strip, amounted to what he called creeping annexation. So he wasn't a big proponent of what Israel was doing at the time. So there you go. That's just one more thing, you know. Who cares about facts? I guess when you get to be Biden in Biden's situation, you just make up things as you go along.
Well, you just hope to get half of them right.
Okay, Ed, before we do our top 10, it's a goodie, and it's about sports. I want to ask you about sports. I always want to ask you on a Friday how our two teams are doing that are currently playing. One is the Tampa Bay Bucks. Who are they going to be playing this weekend? And then we'll ask you about the Lightning. What about the Bucks?
Bucks will be in Atlanta. I hope this isn't a trap game for them. I hope that they, because Atlanta's not very good. So I hope
they look pretty good against Indianapolis.
Yeah,
I thought.
Yeah, I just that's what I mean. I hope they don't play down to the competition.
Yeah.
So
they're on their way, though, I think, to the playoffs, right? How many games left after this?
Let's see, five or six? We got 11. We're at.
They're playing 17.
We're
this year.
8-3 right now, so it's 11 games.
We got six left.
So, yes, we have six games.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, the Lightning won again last night. I think they've been playing pretty good, too.
They're just not consistent.
Yeah.
You know? Some injuries are happening, too.
And that happens to everybody. Kucherov, the one guy that we really could use, I guess, if we could get him back.
Yeah.
Have you heard anything new about whether he's
going
to come
back?
Nothing
at all.
Wow. If we get him back... Because they are, obviously, they'll be in the playoffs. I think there's no question about that. All right, Ed, we have a good one. This is the top 10 highest paid athletes in the past 31 years. Now, this comes from a analysis by a group called Kaggle, K-A-G-G-L-E. They took a look at Forbes' highest paid athletes list, and they figured out in the past, since 1990, really, who are the wealthiest athletes? A lot of these people are retired, but they still are making money.
Right, still getting money.
Okay, so here we go. Top 10 highest paid since 1990. Number 10. This guy isn't even alive anymore, and he made the list. Kobe Bryant.
Mm-hmm.
He has made $621 million.
His name is probably still making money.
Yeah, his name is making money. Okay, number 9. Do you know who Michael Schumacher is?
No.
You have to be a racing fan.
Yeah, yes.
He's a racing guy.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, he's a big-time racing fan, man. $703 million. Oh. Wow. I don't know enough about racing, whether or not
I don't either.
He is still racing or not, but that's a lot of money. Number 8, Michael Jordan. You knew he'd be in here, right? He's made $739 million.
I think he's made more off the court than he ever did on the court.
Oh, there's no question about it. There's no question about it. Think about all the things. He was even in a movie.
Did you see that 10-part series with him?
No.
Oh, it's fantastic. Really shows you the good and bad sides of him.
Yeah, he was a bit of both.
Yeah.
There's no question about it.
He's a gambler, too.
He was a gambler.
Mm-hmm.
He would humiliate people.
Yeah.
He had a mean streak in him. I think that's partly what made him so, you know, when he got on the court, that mean streak took over to some extent. Number 7, Phil Mickelson. Now, Phil Mickelson has been around for a long time. He's a golfer. I didn't realize he's made $782 million. So it's got to be the clubs and all of the stuff that goes with it. It ain't
not the prize money.
No. Number 6. Do you know who Lionel Messi is? M-E-S-S-I? Any idea?
Hockey?
Close. Soccer.
Soccer. Kickball.
Kickball. They call it football.
We call it kickball.
You know, it's actually, football is a more appropriate for what they play because they use their feet more.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, $912 million. $912 million. Hmm. Wow. Number 5, Roger Federer. Tennis star, right? $933 million for Roger.
Mm.
Is he still playing?
Don't know.
Okay. Number 4, Cristiano Ronaldo. That's soccer. soccer. Sounds like he's an Italian. Don't know for sure. $943 million. Wow. Must be selling a lot of soccer shirts.
Must be.
Soccer shoes. Number three. Floyd Mayweather.
The boxer,
yeah. $944.5 million. Wow.
Now, that could be a lot of prize fights.
That is prize money.
That is prize
money. Because what are you going to sell in a commercial?
Right, right.
Boxing gloves?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I don't think so.
Plus, probably endorsements.
Yeah.
Kick in, appearances, stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, indeed. Number two. This guy's been kind of in a little bit of trouble recently with his on-court antics.
Mm.
LeBron James is number two. Listen to this. Since 1990, $1.04 billion.
Yeah.
Billion. Amazing. Amazing. All right. Ed, who do you think is the number one?
I'm going to go with, even though he's not in the sport right now, being injured, and he said he will not ever come back to play in an official event again. I'm going to say Tiger Woods.
Bingo! You are right. It is Tiger Woods. $1.63 billion. However, did you see the interview? He said he's going to come back.
I just saw one recently.
He said he's going to come back.
I saw him recently. He's
But he'll only play part-time.
Oh, well, that's what it was. He'll never be back full-time.
He's going to play certain tournaments,
right,
but he's not going to play ever. He said, I will never play full-time
again. That's the guy who should just play on the senior tour for fun or whatever. He'll never use that money, for crying out loud, you know?
Yeah. But you know what? If he can go and play, like, every fourth tournament on the regular tournament tour,
you know why? It helps.
What do you think?
It helps the tour.
That's right.
It's not about him making the money or anything. It helps the golfing industry itself.
And I bet they would pay him.
Sure.
Whether it's under the table or however, to show up to do it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, my friends, that's it. We thank you so very much. We will be back on Monday. You have a safe weekend, and always remember, freedom works.
Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHRs